Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. After a one-day hiatus, we were off the air on Monday due to our continuing special coverage of the Donald Trump impeachment hearings. That, of course, bumped us off of WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. So after a one-day hiatus, it's great to be back here behind the mic live in Studio S for another edition of WKAR's Current Sports on this snowy and cold Tuesday, December 10th, 2019. A bit weird, right? Because yesterday was in the 50s. I don't think I've ever recalled a December day in which we saw temps in the 50s. That was odd yesterday. We got rain yesterday, and now today we get snow. Welcome to Michigan in the winter, right? You just never know. You just never know. So, I hope you guys are staying warm. It's going to be a very busy hour of WKAR's Current Sports because due to the fact that we were off Monday, this is basically going to be like a Monday edition of the show where we recap a lot of what happened throughout the sporting weekend. We will talk about the college football playoff. That's all set now. And we do now know where Michigan State football and Michigan football will play in their respective bowl games. So we'll talk about the Penn State Bowl for Michigan State and the Citrus Bowl for Michigan and how much these two games matter at the end of the day. And did the committee get it right? I think we can all pretty much guess my answer to that question, right? It was easy this year. It was very easy to figure out who the top four teams in college football were this season. So we'll dive into that. We'll also talk about what happened on Sunday night at the Breslin Center as the Michigan State men's basketball team defeated Rutgers to open up Big Ten play. It wasn't easy, though. This was not an easy game for Michigan State. And to be quite honest, I think that a lot of perceptions surrounding Tom Izzo's team this season are changing a bit, at least right now here at the beginning of December, especially for a team that came in this year being ranked as the preseason numero uno team in the nation. A lot of people believe that this team has not performed up to expectations thus far. So we'll dive into what happened on Sunday night. And then on the back end of the show, I do want to comment on what Derrick Rose is doing for my Detroit Pistons this season. Last night, D. Rose had his third career buzzer-beating victory. It was pretty amazing, too. I mean, watching Derrick Rose ball out this season the way he has. Now, he has had a rocky stretch this year. Again, it's a young year. I mean, we're talking about December here in the association. But lately, Derrick Rose has been lights out. And, man, if he keeps on playing like this, I think we may be talking about an all-star here. Pretty amazing stuff. So the resurgence of Derrick Rose, I'll comment on that later on this hour. We'll do all of this while, of course, inviting you all beautiful people to be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can call if you would like to speak live here on the air with myself. Also, Jack Kerwin behind the glass, engineer of the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. You can also weigh in courtesy of our live stream, which you can view right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there and comment below that video if you feel compelled to. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. Spartan fans, as you know by now, your Michigan State football team has accepted an invite to participate in the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium in New York City. Yeah, on December 27th. That will be a 3:20 p.m. kick time as the Spartans take on the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, which Wake Forest is actually a pretty decent team this year. I mean, this isn't your grandfather's Wake Forest team. I'll just say that. Which is why, and Jack just continues with the drop, but which is why I believe Michigan State is going to get blown out here by double digits. I'll have more on that game in just a moment, all right?
Fun fact for you, yeah. Actually. Do you know which head coach who has connections to the city of Detroit, if I'm not mistaken, got his start, his first head coaching gig at Wake Forest?
No, I have no idea.
Jim Caldwell.
Really?
Jim Caldwell? In the 70s or the 80s, yeah. Long time ago.
He was an assistant coach?
No, he was the head coach
at
Wake Forest.
He was the head coach at Wake Forest.
I believe that was his first head coaching gig.
I did not know that. Okay. There you go. Food for thought there, folks. All right. And also a positive story here for Michigan State football, if you don't believe that the Pinstripe Bowl is a positive story. Michigan State fifth-year senior defensive end, Kenny Willekes. He completed his improbable journey from walk-on to winning the Burlsworth Trophy yesterday. How about that? He was joined by his grandparents and Spartan head coach Mark D'Antonio as he received the award during a reception hosted by the Brandon Burlsworth Foundation in conjunction with the Springdale Rotary Club at the Springdale Convention Center. A chemistry major, Willekes earned a scholarship in the spring of 2017 as a walk-on and has not looked back since. He entered the program as a walk-on linebacker for the 2015 campaign, but has emerged as one of the top pass rushers in the nation during his career. Quite a remarkable story. He ranks first among all FBS players with 1.27 tackles for loss per game and has 49.5 career tackles for loss overall. He set the school's all-time tackles for loss record on senior day against Maryland when he recorded 2.5 tackles for loss against the Terrapins. So the Burlsworth Trophy goes to a highly decorated walk-on in the world of Division I college football. So congratulations to Kenny Willekes. Again, quite the story to go from walk-on to the career that he had with Michigan State. Pretty impressive stuff. All right, and the Michigan Wolverines will take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Oh, Bama certainly fell this year. A lot of that having to do with the fact that Tua Tagovailoa, he did get hurt, the starting quarterback. But still, Alabama performed below expectations. And this is the first time since the college football playoff was enacted that Alabama is not competing in the playoff in some way, shape, or form. So the Wolverines, the number 14th ranked team in the nation, will take on Bama, the number 13th team in the nation. This will be in the, of course, Citrus Bowl, which will take place on New Year's Day at 1 p.m.
Just think about how excited Michigan fans would have been at the beginning of the season if you would have told them that their first postseason game would have been against Alabama.
Right. Isn't that yeah.
It's crazy to think about.
If you would have told them that with no context at all, they
would have said,
you guys
are going to be playing Alabama at the beginning of the new year.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, yeah. We're in the college football playoff, baby. No. That's a good point, Jack. And when it comes to the college football playoff, of course, the rankings are set. You guys know this by now. I'm just rehashing it because again, we weren't on the air yesterday. But number one is LSU. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Clemson. And number four, Oklahoma. This was a very easy year to figure out who the top four teams are that will be competing for a college football national championship. This was probably the easiest year since the college football playoff began when trying to figure out these top four teams. So one, LSU, two, Ohio State, three, Clemson, four, Oklahoma. More on that in just a moment. And on Sunday night, the Michigan State men's basketball team got a 77-65 win over the Rutgers Scarlet Knights as Michigan State gets its sixth win of the year, sitting at 6-3. And when it comes to the next game for Michigan State basketball, they will now take on Oakland this Saturday on the road. That will be a noon tip time. So Michigan State taking on Greg Campy and the Oakland Golden Grizzlies this Saturday at noon. We'll see what happens there. All right, and D-Rose, how good was he last night, huh? As he scored 17 points, 17 of his 21 points in the fourth quarter alone. And of those 17, that included the go-ahead buzzer-beating victory, 105-103 against the New Orleans Pelicans. I had some fun last night on Twitter as I contacted Isaac Constance, former engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Our longtime listeners know who Isaac is, as he is now a political reporter out in Washington, D.C., and I kind of poked a jab at him last night as the Pelicans now have lost, I believe, 9 straight games. So the Pistons handing them number 9 in that 105-103 win last night. More on the production of Derrick Rose. He's been brilliant so far this year. The Pistons sit at 10-14 on the season. And Le'Veon Bell, former Michigan State running back great, who is now, of course, with the New York Jets. Le'Veon Bell, he was too ill to bowl over Dolphins defenders on Sunday afternoon, but not too ill to knock down some pins on late Saturday. The Jets running back, who missed Sunday's win because of the flu, he spent Saturday night at a New Jersey bowling alley, according to sources. One source also had photos that show Bell at his lane. He missed practice on Thursday and Friday and was ruled out of the game on Saturday because he is dealing with the flu. Jets coach Adam Gase said the team sent him home Friday to avoid getting other players sick. Gase also said Bell was not present at Saturday's team walkthrough. He was not seen at MetLife Stadium on Sunday when the Jets beat the Dolphins 22-21. But for someone with the flu, you'd think you'd be bedridden, right? Trying to get well, not at a bowling alley. Maybe Le'Veon Bell was playing hooky. I don't know. All right, and last night in Monday Night Football action, I was a bit upset at this because I was hoping that the New York Jets, New York Giants, we were just talking about the Jets, the New York Giants would hand the Philadelphia Eagles a loss to continue to hold down the number one spot in the NFC East, my Dallas Cowboys. But the Eagles stormed back in the second half and into overtime to beat Eli Manning in the New York Giants. 23-17 was your final on Monday Night Football last night. And I was really pulling for Eli Manning because it was just really cool to see him back in action and play relatively well, at least in the first half. But after that, couldn't score after 2 touchdown passes. I believe his favorite target was Darius Slayton Jr. Just continued to connect with Slayton Jr. for big gains. And after that second quarter in which the Giants scored all of their 17 points, they did not score in the third quarter or the fourth or, of course, in overtime. So, Eagles over Giants in the horrid NFC East. All right, that does it for your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there and comment below that video. And you can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
We start the fourth. Derrick Rose to the basket, lays it up, lays it in. There's a clean lay-in. Should be 85-78, I believe.
Paint is about running to a guy and matching up and not being hurt in transition from that three-point line.
Derrick Rose with a good-looking leaner, and the Pistons are back up by 90-84. Derrick Rose off the dribble, drains it to untie it. Derrick Rose stops, fires, fills it up. Derrick against Lonzo Ball. Turns him inside. Flips it up, fills it up. Ball game in New Orleans. Derrick with the drive. Over Holiday. Hits it as time runs out. Derrick Rose wins the ball game.
It feels so good to be back. Happy Tuesday, December 10th, 2019 to you all. Happy holidays to you and yours. It was good to be back in the chair. You know, we weren't on the air yesterday, of course, due to our continuing coverage of the President Donald Trump impeachment hearings. So this is kind of like a Monday show. This is going to have a Monday's current sports feel to it. Because you guys know the two busiest shows are Monday and Friday. Because on Monday, you're trying to recap what happened throughout, what, three nights of sports. One night on Friday night and then 2 days on Saturday and Sunday. And on Friday, you're trying to preview all of that jazz. So we are going to give this the Monday current sports treatment because we got a lot to get to. What you just heard were highlights from last night's Detroit Pistons and New Orleans Pelicans NBA game on the road out in NOLA. George Blaha on the call. Those calls never get old. No. Fills it up. That never gets old. Count that baby in a foul. I love listening to George Blaha do a Pistons broadcast. But Derrick Rose and that buzzer-beating shot to down a pretty solid New Orleans Pelicans team, despite this losing streak that they are on. That's a solid young team. You know, this resurgence of Derrick Rose has been very impressive, and one that I have been approaching with caution due to the injury history that Derrick Rose has had. But I may be now hopping on the Derrick Rose bandwagon that this dude may be an all-star this season and maybe, big knock on wood here, maybe his injury woes are behind him at 31 years old. More on that later on this hour, but I want to start with some good old college football talk, seeing as though the bowl games are set. Championship weekend has passed. It was an interesting one, but it was a pretty simple one, wasn't it? I mean, the college football playoff committee did not have a lot of work to do. They didn't, you know, they weren't conflicted with really anything because, you know, after all of the bluster about mayhem in the college football playoff, it turned out to be quite simple. It was very, very easy. And for all those like myself who are advocating for this thing to eventually get expanded to 8 teams, this didn't help that case at all because you have a year, which, again, it's pretty cut and dry who the top four teams are. By Saturday night, after all of the conference championship games were played, it was close, but I think pretty obvious that LSU should be the number one team over Ohio State. Ohio State, don't get me wrong, this is a very talented team who I believe still can win the national championship. LSU's my favorite, though, because they just look like the slightly more talented team in comparison to Ohio State. Ohio State, let's be real here, what did Ohio State in when it came to that number one ranking? And I see Mike asking that question on our Facebook page, was that first half. Wisconsin pushing the Buckeyes the way they did in that first half. Now, Ohio State put the wheels back on the track, certainly in that second half. In that second half, they got back to what Ohio State has done throughout much of this season. But struggling in that first half against Wisconsin, the committee looked at that, the public looked at that and said, okay. And then you compare that to what LSU was able to do against Georgia. Yeah, that's your clear number one right there. You got to put LSU as the number one team in the nation. And then you look at, Big 12 champion Oklahoma, led by Jalen Hurts. Hurts doing what they did in their championship game. They were really the only real candidate for the number four spot. And, it's just funny to me because after weeks of speculation and after weeks of what are now wasted segments on sports talk shows and sports debate shows on television for weeks about how messy things could get with so many teams in the mix down the stretch, this was arguably the cleanest decision of the playoff era. I mean, it was pretty cut and dry at the end of the day. I just chuckled at that. Had Utah won the Pac-12 title game, the argument there between the Utes and the Big 12 champion, that would have been kind of fierce because they both would have presented similar resumes and vulnerabilities there. Had Georgia won the SEC championship game over LSU, putting two SEC teams in the playoff and knocking out two Power 5 conferences, that would have been a discussion. And then you would have had a large portion of this country, like myself, demanding expansion. You got to expand this thing to at least eight teams. And then there was even, again, that chance that Wisconsin was going to upset Ohio State. I never believed that. I tweeted after Ohio State came back in the second half to beat Wisconsin. I kind of chuckled at people who were messaging me and tweeting me and saying, oh, Wisconsin's going to pull this thing off. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You still got an entire half of football left. Have you watched Ohio State this entire season? That is still an incredibly talented team. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Ryan Day is a very good coach. He is going to get things figured out at halftime, and that's exactly what happened. But if Wisconsin somehow, some way beat Ohio State, that could have thrown a wrench into the debate. As a two-loss Big Ten champ, does that champ deserve to be in the playoff as well? So, instead, the committee got lucky as Utah lost to Oregon. Georgia never had a chance against LSU. I don't know. I just think LSU right now, I don't know what the weakness is for LSU. I watched that Georgia and LSU game, and I just sat on my couch and said, what? I mean, how do you slow down this team? What can you do to frustrate this team? They look too good right now. So Georgia never really had a chance against LSU. Wisconsin's upset bid faded in the second half. And, I listened to Rob Mullins, who is the committee chairman. I listened to Mullins talk on ESPN, and he brought up some kind of debate between Oklahoma and Georgia, but look, that was merely a front. That was merely a front to try and make this thing somewhat interesting. I think Mullins just was trying to look for something to say. Yeah, well, we kind of talked about that a little bit, but at the end of the day, we all knew who the top four teams were. You know, that there was no need for the committee to, you know, burn the midnight oil and stay up incredibly late trying to figure out who was going to make the college football playoff. It was very easy. They got home early and got a chance to hit the sack early. So, you know, really the only debate here was, you know, that number one seed. And you just heard my thoughts. I thought that LSU deserved to be in that number one spot. You know, as good as Ohio State has been this year, and as many quality wins that the Buckeyes did have over the course of the season, LSU's closing argument for the number one seed was a 37-10 win over what was a previously 11-1 Georgia team. 37-10, that sends a statement out in the ATL. On top of earlier wins over Florida, Auburn, and, oh yeah, at Alabama, all teams ranked in the top 15. Nobody, in my opinion, put together a better regular season than the LSU Tigers. So you had to put them up at number one. You know, if Ohio State had gone out and just totally mollywopped Wisconsin, maybe put up like a 50-piece on Wisconsin. Okay, all right, I probably would have kept OSU at number one in my thoughts about how dominant this team is and how crazy good they are, would have stayed the same. All right, keep OSU at number one. But that first half struggle is the reason why. So when it comes to the favorite to win this thing now, again, I'm going with LSU. You know, and I looked at LSU's defense against Georgia and said, wow. I mean, that defense, they have so many athletes on that LSU team. It's pretty crazy. And, oh, yeah, then you have Heisman finalist Broadway Joe Burrow. He's going to win the Heisman Trophy. I don't even know why. Why is this a debate at this point? You know, you got Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields in the mix. You also have Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts. He's in the mix. And Ohio State defensive end Chase Young is also in that conversation. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, but is this the first time ever that a team has had a player who plays offense and a player who plays defense on the same team as Heisman finalists? I don't think that's ever happened before.
Probably true. I can look that up. I mean, the last time I can think of a team even having two Heisman nominees would have been USC back about 15 years ago with Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. So, no, it's been a while, and I mean, you don't often see defensive players get nominated, much less win it anyway, because Charles Woodson's the only one who's ever done that. So it wouldn't surprise me. I can look it up for you.
Yeah, we can double-check on that. But I believe that's what I was watching SVP, Scott Van Pelt, on SportsCenter last night. And, you know, that ticker that comes at the bottom, I believe that's what it read. I was kind of tired last night watching it, but I believe that's what it read. But it's going to go to Joe Burrow. You know, he is seen right now as the clear front runner after his stellar senior season. I do want to say this, though. Can we pump the brakes just a bit on Joe Burrow? I've been reading articles since this morning around 8 a.m., Jack, about Joe Burrow being a Tom Brady-like quarterback, and he's going to go to the league and set the NFL on fire, and everybody pumping up this young stud.
He doesn't play anything like Tom Brady. I don't understand the comparisons. Like, they're not similar.
Yeah, I don't get that. But what I'm saying here is, can we put a pause on the hype just a bit here? I mean, Joe Burrow, it's not like he has had a stellar career throughout his entire college career. Is he having a great senior season at LSU? Without a doubt. Joe Burrow is so fun to watch. He's an incredibly intelligent quarterback. I love how he can read the defense. He's got a great arm. But it took him a while to get there, Jack. So I want to see when he gets to the NFL if he's going to be a bust. Was it a fluke? I don't know. I'm just saying, all of the hype around Burrow, I like Burrow. He's had a great year. But I just want to I think we just pumped the brakes.
Where does the word bust come in here? Why do we have to call him potentially a bust?
If he's going, because we've seen so many quarterbacks.
Well, he may not be a superstar, but still be a good quarterback. Why do you have to take it all the way to being a bust?
If he is a top first half first round quarterback. Jack.
He's going to be the first overall pick, Al.
No, he's not.
Yes, he will be.
Chase Young is going to be your first
overall pick. No, the Bengals are going to have the first overall pick, and they need a quarterback.
They do need a quarterback.
I'd be happy to make a bet with you on this. Joe Burrow is going to be...
Okay, lunch on that.
Okay.
I still believe that Chase Young is going to have... It's going to be hard not to go with Chase Young.
Joe Burrow is going to be the first overall pick.
If that being said, let's just think about this for a second. If Joe Burrow becomes the number one overall pick in next year's NFL draft, if he is anything short, Jack, of a Pro Bowl quarterback, that's a bust. That's a bust, Jack.
That's not what a bust is. A bust is someone who's out of the league in 3 years.
I wouldn't say. Well, that's your definition of bust, Jack.
A bust is somebody who gets there and can't play. A bust is Anthony Bennett.
If he's riding the bench as a backup quarterback in year three, that's still a bust, too. Even if he's not out of the league.
Okay, Jack. So is Jameis Winston a bust?
Yeah, I would say Jameis Winston is a bust right now.
All right, fair enough.
Definitely.
I actually think Jameis Winston's a bust, too.
He is definitely a bust.
So he needs to be one of the top half quarterback in the NFL
he's
to not be considered
a Pro Bowl
a bust.
Quarterback. If you take a quarterback number one overall in the NFL draft, you have to be a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's fair, actually.
Baker Mayfield's a bust right now.
All right, that's too early, though. That's too early. Yes, right now he looks like it, but it's too early.
But you see what I'm saying, though, here.
Sure. Yes, if Baker Mayfield's career continues on this trajectory, yes, he will be a bust.
Definitely. And also, real quick, a side note there. I heard Mike McCarthy may be a candidate for the Cleveland Browns job next season. So there you have that. Yeah, I was reading a report this morning about Mike McCarthy. He took a year off, and he, like, converted one room in his house to, like, a film room, and he's been sharpening his skills.
That's a football guy move right there. That's a football guy move right there. The only thing that concerns me is that he already didn't have a room that was a film room.
That's a good point. That's a good point, man. Yeah, he converted one room into a film room, and he's been keeping his skills sharp. And I think that Mike McCarthy, he's kind of a no-nonsense guy. We all know about how he used to butt heads with Aaron Rodgers all the time back when he was the head coach in Green Bay. I think Mike McCarthy, a personality like Mike McCarthy coming in and coaching a Baker Mayfield will be good for his career. He needs it. And I don't know if you heard his comments about the Cleveland Browns training staff when it concerns Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, the dude just doesn't know when to shut up. I mean, it's like, and I get it. You're trying to have Odell's back, but the way he said it, and in the context he put it in, the coaching staff, the head coach for the Cleveland Browns, whose name is eluding me right now,
Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens came out and said, "Baker, what are you doing? You know, we don't want you." Again, I'm paraphrasing here, but Baker, we don't want you commenting on the job our staff is doing, especially our trainers. You know, we have full confidence in our training staff here in Cleveland. Just immaturity. So I think that Mike McCarthy would be a great fit out in Cleveland to kind of wake up Baker Mayfield a bit. But I don't know how I got on Baker Mayfield. We just hopped around there. But at the end of the day, though, the point I was trying to make here when discussing college football is the fact that LSU, I think it's LSU and then the other three. You know, maybe I'm wrong here, but I just think that LSU, I don't think that any of the other three teams have a shot at knocking off the LSU Tigers. I believe that they are that good, especially if Joe Burrow continues to play the way he has played throughout this season. And looking at that final score, Jack, again, I just can't help but think looking at that game, that game against Georgia in the SEC championship and how they played and how they dominated, my goodness. I don't see them losing.
Yeah, I mean, the other three playoff teams are head and shoulders above Georgia, though. Well, maybe not Oklahoma, but Clemson and Ohio State are certainly head and shoulders above Georgia. Do you think that Clemson will challenge Ohio State?
I do.
I think Clemson's winning that game, to be honest with you.
You do. See, yeah. This is the thing. This is the debate when it comes to Clemson, right? Clemson hasn't played anybody. They play in the ACC. They haven't been challenged all season.
It's tired and boring, though.
It's such an easy take, right? I get it. But this is still an incredibly talented Clemson Tigers football team. I also think that Clemson is going to push. To go as far as to say they'll win it.
You know what? The reason I feel that way, and I know this game is 3 weeks down the road, is because the way Justin Fields played against Wisconsin on Saturday, mm-hmm. combined with when he was in the tent against Michigan the week before and, like, carted off against Penn State the week before that, Justin Fields obviously has an issue with his knee right now. He's not 100%, and I think you could see that in the Wisconsin game. He didn't look as good as he had, you know, weeks previous. So if Justin Fields isn't up to 100%, and even if he's at, you know, 70%, I don't think Ohio State can hang with Clemson, to be honest with you.
Interesting take, man. We'll debate that more in the coming weeks here.
I mean, I think Justin Fields is phenomenal, but I also don't think he's completely healthy right now.
But you get, I mean, that game isn't until December 28th. So he's got a lot of time to heal up, whatever injury that, if he does have an injury, he's got a lot of time to heal up and then get back at it. Before I hit our first break here, we do have a caller on line one. We've got Kirk from Grand Ledge who wants to talk about Joe Burrow. Kirk, you are on Current Sports. Good to hear from you, my man.
Well, I was just able to turn you on, and I hear you having this discussion about Burrow compared to Tom Brady and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Anyway, first of all, I just want to say the definition of a quarterback bust should be, there was another quarterback from LSU. I think he was taken first overall by the Raiders, maybe. Big, strong kid, one of these guys who could kneel down on the 20-yard line and throw it down the end zone.
Jamarcus Russell, Kirk.
Yep, Jamarcus Russell, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's the definition of a quarterback bust, you know. But the comparison, what you're saying, Al, in terms of Joe Burrow, saying he kind of blossomed late in his college career. Well, if you look at Tom Brady's college career, he didn't even start all the time for U of M because Lloyd Carr was too busy pacifying Drew Henson.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of mixing apples with oranges here in terms of the comparison.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing, Kirk.
Tom Brady? No, I do not. But you got to be careful what you're trying to mix. And anybody who's trying to compare, you know, Burrow to Tom Brady is kind of foolish at this point because there's an awful lot of football yet to be played to get even close to that.
Well, Kirk, it's relative to where you picked in the NFL draft. If Joe Burrow, I mean, it's like Jamarcus Russell. He was the 2007 first pick in the NFL draft. If you're picked number one in the NFL draft, you are expected to come in and be a game changer for that respective franchise. Tom Brady was, what, round 58? You know what I mean? He was an ugly duckling who blossomed. I mean, if Joe Burrow goes number one overall, and he is not a Pro Bowl quarterback, bust. Bust. Complete bust, Kirk. So it's relative to where you're taken. It's relative to the expectation of where you're taken in the NFL draft. That's how you compare that.
Okay, but there's been a ton. Joey Harrington for the Lions. You know, a number of guys that were taken top 10 picks overall in the first round that were quarterbacks that just don't make it. And the problem with the NFL draft for quarterbacks is you really can't figure out what's between their ears. I mean, the reality is that you can have all the physical skill. Jamarcus Russell was a classic example of that. All the physical skills in the world, but if you can't figure out where a blitz is coming from or how to make a secondary read, you're not going to be a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I think time will tell. Do I think he'll probably be a total bust? I don't know. He's gone through a lot of adversity to get where he's at, including transferring from Ohio State. So maybe, who knows?
We'll see. Kirk, outstanding call.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Right.
It's in our first break. Bye-bye. When we come back, we will talk some Michigan State basketball and football. Because I do want to make some points when it comes to Michigan going to the Citrus Bowl and Michigan State in the Pinstripe Bowl. and expectations for this year's Michigan State men's basketball team after what we've seen so far. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And You know, before I get back to some Michigan State sports talk here, I am getting some tweets, people asking me who are my early favorites in the NBA right now. And that's an interesting question. There's a lot of great storylines happening around the NBA. And what I particularly love about this season is that it is so wide open for the first time in years. You can make the argument when you look at the amount of talent on each team that is spread out across the association that this is the most parity that we've seen in the association in 10 years. You can make that argument. And have you seen the Golden State Warriors?
Wow.
5-20. The Golden State Warriors, once the darling of the NBA, a modern-day dynasty. We all know the injuries that this team is going through. And, of course, KD, he's out in Brooklyn right now. Of course, he has to sit out the entire year due to that injury. Kyrie Irving is trying to hold down the fort there until KD can come back. And with that being said, Brooklyn's still the seventh seed in the NBA. But KD is now gone. Klay Thompson hurt. Steph Curry hurt. Draymond Green, you know, he's been iffy at times this season. Golden State sitting at 5-20. That is good for the second worst record in the National Basketball Association. But right now, when you look at what's happening in both the Eastern and Western Conference, shout out, I got a chance to check out, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks last night. I've been watching the Bucks and paying close attention to what they've been doing throughout this year. And the Milwaukee Bucks right now are on a 15-game win streak. Giannis Antetokounmpo is playing out of his mind each and every night. This team looks like they are going to be in the NBA Finals, in my opinion. Now, I know it's early. I'm saying this on December 10th, folks. I know. I don't know how many times I can say it's early. It's early. It's early. It's early. It's the NBA. They play 82 games. But the Milwaukee Bucks look for real right now. A win streak of 15 games, 21-3 on the year. Behind the Bucks, you've got the Boston Celtics at 17-5, the Miami Heat at 17-6, Philly at 17-7, the Raptors, Pacers, Nets, Orlando Magic, and then my Detroit Pistons nipping on the heels of the Magic to try and get into the playoff conversation at number 9 in the league. But this Bucks team is serious, and they look really, really good. Then on the other side, you have the L.A. Lakers at 21-3. LeBron James is playing at such a high level right now. LeBron James is he's looking like the best player in basketball again. You know, when you look at his efficiency rating, it's through the roof. But I don't know, man. I still think the L.A. Clippers, there's something about that Clippers team. You know, and then you can debate me all day about this whole load management question as well. It paid off last year when it came to Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors, and Kawhi was fully healthy and ready when it came to the playoffs and when it came to the NBA Finals. And he's still sticking to his load management. And still, the Clippers are 18-7, and they just got Paul George back. So right now, if I had an early pick here, I think it's going to be Bucks and Clippers. Bucks and Clippers for me. All right. Michigan State in the Pinstripe Bowl. You've heard Jack and his drops throughout this hour. Yeah, that's the drop he's been playing throughout this hour anytime I've said Pinstripe Bowl. Michigan State in the Pinstripe Bowl, Jack, taking on Wake Forest. Who cares? I just want to get that out right now. I want to get that off my chest. When it came across my email and my phone over the weekend that Michigan State had accepted an invite in the Pinstripe Bowl, I immediately thought to myself, who cares? Wow, has this program fallen from an amazing, amazing peak? I've been beating your head with this point for weeks, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But Michigan State going out to New York, we all knew it was going to be the Quick Lane Bowl in Michigan State's backyard at Ford Field, or it was going to be the Pinstripe Bowl in New York City at Yankee Stadium. Well, it turned out to be the Pinstripe Bowl. You're taking on Wake Forest, which is a decent college football team now with a lot of talent. I think Michigan State is going to get beat by double-digit points in this game. But you're playing in this bowl game, and I'm just sitting there saying, who cares? You know, Mark D'Antonio going to another bowl, that's all fine and dandy, but, you know, this isn't a statement bowl game for Michigan State. Just like last year, playing in the Red Box Bowl, who cares? I'm curious to know how many, because I think that if they played at the Quick Lane Bowl, there would have been some Spartan fans who are just in the Detroit area or here in the East Lansing area that would have said, okay, it's only an hour drive. We got nothing to do that day. Let's just go grab some tickets. It's not like we're outside in the blistering cold. It's a dome. Let's just go get some cheap tickets, go out there, have something to do with the fam, take some pictures, go home. Yeah. But now that it's in New York, where you have to hop on a plane and go out to New York at Yankee Stadium. The game is outdoors. It's going to be cold. What Michigan State fan is going to buy tickets, then buy a plane ticket, hop on a plane, go to Yankee Stadium to freeze your tail off and watch the Spartans take on Wake Forest? You got to be the biggest green and white fan in the world to do that. Incredibly disappointing.
And a little bit crazy, if we're being honest. To go to that game in New York, you got to be a little bit crazy.
Oh, you got to be. Unless you are a dude who is, like, dating a girl who is, like, the biggest Michigan State fan in the world, and you just want something cool to do, something fun to do. It's around New Year, so, you know, you take her there, and you guys bring in the New Year in the city that never sleeps. I don't know. Maybe it's a cool date, but my goodness. I mean, why?
Wow, I have a joke I could use there, but we're not gonna use that one
on
the air.
Don't use that. Tell me it after, all right? But I mean, it's I don't know, man. And when it comes to Michigan, we've been talking about this a lot as well. I've been talking about this a lot as well with a few of our listeners out there. You know, for Michigan, I think this is a great opportunity for you. You know, I mean, you got nothing to lose, man. You are playing Alabama, a team that was in the top four. As a top five college football team throughout much of the college football year, we all know about the conversation concerning Jim Harbaugh and how he's on the hot seat and how he hasn't performed up to expectations, how he doesn't win the big games. You got an opportunity here that if you somehow, some way, find a way to beat the Alabama Crimson Tide, whoa, I think that buys Jim Harbaugh at least another season of goodwill from some Michigan fans out there. Not all. I think there are some Michigan fans, smart Michigan fans out there who will, again, they're not going to buy in and get fooled by smoke and mirrors. You know, even if they do beat Alabama, still Jim Harbaugh overall has performed below expectations. But if Michigan somehow, some way beats Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide, buys you another year, Jim.
Well, you know he's not getting fired anyway, right?
He's not getting fired anyway. Either way, Jack, you know, that's a whole higher-ups conversation there. But if they lose, they lose. You have the narrative that, okay, you're Michigan going against, still, it's Nick Saban and Alabama. Who cares if they're, like, the 13th-ranked team in the nation? It's still Alabama. You're expected to lose against Alabama. So you really have nothing to lose in this game. I think Bama's going to rout Michigan in that game. So Michigan's in a much better position, I think, than Michigan State when it comes to this bowl game. How many green and white fans are going to that game? That's the question I have. Do I have any listeners out there? I'm not insulting our listeners out there. If you are a Michigan State diehard and you got the moolah to buy tickets and fly out there to support your team, go ahead, man. Props to you. You are a diehard Michigan State fan, and I applaud you.
You're dedicated. That's what that is.
I would love to hear.
You got
to
tip the cap.
Tip the cap there, man. You know, I have to meet you. I have to shake your hand. If you are buying tickets to go out to that game, props to you, and I would love to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. I'm curious if I have any listeners out there who are making that trip. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I see you, Ray, on line one. Again, 517-355-9527. I'll talk some Michigan State men's basketball, and I'll make a quick point concerning Derrick Rose and his play so far this year for my Detroit Pistons.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have less than 10 minutes left in the hour. Let's go to line two right now. We have our favorite, one of our favorites. I don't want to choose a, you know, one of our listener over another listener, but one of our favorite callers in the Current Sports family, Ray from Indiana, is on line two. Ray, what's up, man?
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'll be sending you a card, Christmas card here in the next week.
Oh, you are the best. I get one from you every year, Ray, and I appreciate it, man.
You know, it's happy days are here again. I never dreamed the Bullies would take on Alabama after they're going to be so pissed after they lost to Auburn. They're going to take it out on the Bullies. They're going to beat them by 40 or 50 points. You know, even if a bunch of their players go to the NFL, their second and third stringers would mop the floor against Michigan. I can't believe the Bullies took them on. But I'll tell you what, it just shows you how crazy those people at the top are. They should have fired this joker. He's 0-5. He's gotten stomped all three games in Ann Arbor against Ohio State. He's only been in one of the five games. Mm-hmm. That was the overtime game in Ohio State. I can't believe somebody with that kind of record. But that goes to show you why they've only won one national title since 1948. They had a half of one in 1997. If they'd had to play Nebraska, they would have got their butts kicked. They didn't have no playoff back then. Now, you know, Ohio State, they got to go through a wild thing. They got to beat Clemson and LSU to win the national title. That's a tall order.
It is. It's a very tall order. So, we'll see what happens. But, you know, at the end of the day, Ray, you look at Michigan and the position that they're in right now going against Alabama in the Citrus Bowl. I mean, what do you have to lose? I mean, you're expected to get whopped by Alabama. And if you do somehow, some way beat them, I mean, wow, pretty impressive win for Jim Harbaugh. It would be. So you have nothing to lose in this game, right, Ray?
Yeah, but Alabama's got their backup quarterback, too. I think that's why they took the game on. They figured, well, this guy ain't that good, but he's got seven touchdowns, two interceptions. And if he went through those two interceptions against Auburn, they would have won that game easily. Mm-hmm. And the other one they lost was LSU. And you know how close that game was.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Ray, thank you for the call, man.
All right, buddy. God bless you. I'll send you a card.
You got it. I love Ray. He sends me a Christmas card every single year, and I look forward to it every single year. All right. Line two to close out the show. We've got Mike from Saginaw. Mike, what's up, man?
What up, Al? Let me tell you this before I talk about Michigan State basketball. Draymond Green was in the New York Times. Did you get the chance to see that?
I did not.
When he retired.
Why was he in the New York Times?
They was talking about his career and his bio mostly, his career and how he overcame the obstacles to become the player he was.
Ah, I see that. Yeah, Draymond Green is growing.
It was on the front page of the sports section.
I see that. It says Draymond Green is growing, but some things never change. This was 5 days ago. That's awesome. Yeah, I guess they profiled him when he was in town to get his jersey retired. That's awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here's what I want to talk to you about. Michigan State always have injuries during the first of the year, and then everybody gets well and everything. You think that Michigan State is not probably rated right now, you think the team is really getting some progress, or they still got – I know they got a lot to work on, but it's just like Michigan State, when they preseason rated them number one, you think that kind of hurt them a lot?
Well, it hurt them. I don't know if it hurt them per se, Mike. The thing is, I mean, when you're number one, you're going to have a target on your back. And honestly, you know, Tom Izzo, you know, he likes that. It's not like Michigan State has never been ranked high. They've never been ranked as the preseason number one, though, but they've been number one during the year before. The thing is, one, they're missing a lot from last season in terms of shooting right now. This is a bad shooting team right now, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I think eventually as the year goes along, that will change and you'll see some guys step up and start hitting that three-pointer. But right now, they're shooting 33% from beyond the arc. Then you have Rocket Watts, who, again, he's in your starting lineup, right? Was in your starting lineup as, you know, the guard, the star guard to come right in and be productive for this team, but he hasn't shot well, and now he's dealing with, you know, this stress situation on his foot. So he's out the lineup. Cassius Winston right now is having, and Xavier Tillman, are having to carry the load for this team. Right now, this team has to mature. and young players who are freshmen, i.e. a player who I'm really looking at, other than Mark Rocket Watts, is Malik Hall. Those guys are going to have to grow up and start finding ways to score. And then the number two scoring option in comparison to Cassius Winston, in combination with Cassius Winston, I should say, is Aaron Henry, and he has not been aggressive. And when he was aggressive, we did see a change in his aggressiveness against Rutgers on Sunday. He's got to hit shots, though. I mean, I think he was like 2-for-10 from the field, something crazy like that. He got most of his production from the free throw line. But he's got to be aggressive, and he's got to find a groove offensively. Right now, this team has a lot of wrinkles to iron out, and I think they will get better in time. But is this a Final Four team right now here on December 10th, 2019? No, not at all.
Okay, Dan, I'll let you wrap up the show, man. It's time for you to get going.
All right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Mike. Look at Mike. He's playing the role of producer there, Jack. It's time
I was just
going.
About to chime in your ear there, too, and he beat me to the punch. You got to love it. We got a thinking man's audience here at WKAR's Current Sports.
Yes, we do. Mike said, all right, Al, you got to get on out of here. You got to wrap this show up right now, buddy. So, yeah, that is true. With a minute left, that was right on time, Mike. Thank you so much, and thank you to all of our listeners and viewers out there on Facebook and, of course, on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. We'll be back at it same time, same place on the Hump Day edition of the show on Wednesday, December 11th. Until then, stay warm and have a fantastic rest of your day. Be easy, people.